Psalm chapter 4. The psalmist David said, "Hear me when I call." How many is glad we have a God that hears us? Our God's not dead. The Bible talked about them idol gods. They can't speak. They can't hear. They can't see. I'm glad I have a God that sees me and knows where I am, that can hear me, can speak to me. Amen. The Word of God said, "O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe." I believe that's something we're missing in our generation. I believe we've got churches sitting full of Christian people. I'm talking about people that's genuinely born again that have lost the awe, Brother Preston, that the likes of him would come by and speak to the likes of us, pick us up out of our sin, save us, make us fit for heaven. He said, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." It's almost a lost art today for someone to get still before the Lord. He said, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up thy light, the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." Now notice verse 8. Here's where my text comes from. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." I want to preach with the help of the Lord this morning on this subject. Only the Lord. Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. And I want to title the message, Only the Lord. Pray with me for a moment. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that we have in our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning that you didn't give up on us, our Lord, that you just continue to woo and to work in our hearts. Lord, for that unsaved individual that's here today, I beg you, Jesus, don't give up on them. And Lord, help them not to give up on you. I pray, Lord, that that time will come soon in their life when they will know, Lord, that they know that they know that they've passed from death unto life. God, that they will be born from above. I ask you now, Lord Jesus, today to speak to our hearts. And God will give you glory. Save that one, Lord, that's lost. Encourage that one, Lord, that's not saved to get saved. Encourage the saints of God to go on another mile. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to, if I may, give you just two things today. That ought to be exciting for you all. Amen. I'm going to give you two things today. But now there's several things under them two things, if you know what I mean. But anyway, I want to magnify something here, only the Lord. Number one this morning in the message, I want to say this. And the word of God in this chapter says it. And the Bible everywhere declares it. Only the Lord can make a man to be righteous. Only the Lord can make a man to be righteous. The Bible said here in verse number 1, "O God of my righteousness." You see, the Bible says that without him, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're nothing without him. But aren't you glad that there's a God? Jonah found it out. Jonah said this, amen, when that whale spit him up on the shore. He said, "Salvation's of the Lord." He learned something down in that belly of that whale, amen. He learned that it's all about him, that it is the God, amen, the God of heaven that can make a man saved, that can declare a man to be righteous. And I believe when we say the God of my righteousness, that's what the psalmist said, that we just need to remember that it's his righteousness that was imputed to our account.
that made us righteous in the sight of God. You see, unrighteousness cannot enter into heaven. Amen. We must be cleaned by the blood, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the psalmist was able to say, He's the God of my righteousness. I want you to look at the reason for our righteousness here. In verse number 5, the word of God said, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. I believe there's only one way that have the righteousness of Jesus imputed to the righteousness of a sinner's account, and that's by trusting the Lord. The Bible said, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So the reason for our righteousness is because we put our trust in the Lord. I want to read this. I didn't plan on reading it, but when Brother John was teaching Sunday school this morning, I thought about this verse in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in his spirit there is no guile. I'm telling you, God took our iniquity and put it on Jesus' account, took his righteousness and put it on our account. And if that don't stir us, I don't know what would. Amen. In this generation that we live in. Thank God this morning for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason is we put our trust in the Lord. What about the result of our righteousness? Let me give you several things here. In verse number 1, the Bible said, hear me. And then the Bible said, hear my prayer. And then in verse number, let me look here and see. I believe verse number 3, the word of God said here, know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. I want to say, listen, when a person is made righteous in the sight of God, then he has a God that hears him. The Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Aren't you glad? Thank the Lord that we have a God that loves us and a God that hears us. The result of our righteousness, He hears us. Secondly, He has mercy upon us. In verse number 1, the Word of God said, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. I'm glad, thank the Lord. Let me just say this. Listen to me. I talk about my sin before I got saved. Talk about my sin since I've been saved. You say, preacher, I wouldn't even say that. Well, the Bible teaches it, amen. If a man says he's without sin, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him, amen. But I'm telling you, there's only one reason I'm standing today for the cause of Christ, and that's the mercy of a God in heaven, amen. That showed mercy to this preacher, showed mercy to this child of his, amen. The result of righteousness, he hears us. He has mercy upon us. But let me give you this. Look at verse number 7. I like this. The Bible said, Thou hast put gladness in my heart. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It bothers me. When a person says they're a child of God and they ain't got nothing but sadness in their heart and sadness on their face and everything in this world is gloom and doom and they don't have a smile, they don't have any joy. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe if you know that righteousness has been put on your account, it doesn't matter the distress. It doesn't matter the valley. Thank God we can smile and look towards heaven and say, He put some gladness in my heart. We'll go through times of sadness. We'll go through valleys, dark valleys, deep valleys. But I'll tell you this, beloved, there's a light in that valley. There's a lily in that valley. And His name is Jesus. Amen. He puts gladness in our heart. Let me give you this, the reward for our righteousness. Look in verse number 3. The Bible said, But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly. What's them next two words? Now listen to me. We get this backwards sometimes. Listen to me carefully right here. We think that God saved us for our sake. Listen to me carefully. If you'll read your Bible and you'll study your Bible, the Lord saved us for His sake. It's not about us. It's about Him. He was purchasing a bride for His Son. Honey, the bride of Christ is soon going to a wedding. Amen. We're going to sit down at the supper table. and rejoice with the bridegroom, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say the reward, beloved, listen, is fellowship with Him. The God, when He saves us, that we couldn't fellowship with Him in our unsaved condition. But now we can fellowship with Him, walk with Him, and talk with Him. And He can walk with us and talk with us. If you'll notice in verse number 7, the reward for righteousness is not the finding of more stuff. Look in verse number 7. He said, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. What David is saying right here is there's a whole lot of people that's glad when they got plenty of stuff. He said, but I'm just telling you, I'm glad because I got a Savior. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something right now. The stuff will change from day to day. One day you may have plenty of stuff. One day you may not have enough stuff. But I'm telling you, I believe in this generation we've all got too much stuff. And we need to, beloved, get our eyes on Christ, our Savior. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. You can imagine, beloved, that's how they made their living. So they were rejoicing when the corn crop did good. They were rejoicing when the grapes did good and the wine was doing well. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. God said we need to rejoice because our name's written in heaven. Amen. That'll never change. Only the Lord can declare a man to be righteous. The second thing in the message, only the Lord. Listen to me carefully. This is what God gave me out of this psalm. Only the Lord can give a man peace. Only the Lord can give a man peace. I'm going to say some things here, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Beloved, listen. In verse number 1, He said, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Maybe you've never been in a time in your life when you were in distress. And I'll say this, if you live long enough, you will be. There's something, beloved, that'll jerk a rug out from under you in this walk of life, and you'll be in a time of distress. And I want to say this, only the Lord can give peace in a time of distress. Only the Lord can give peace in a time of distress. The Bible said here, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Listen to me. We're all either already have or will lose loved ones. There's people in this church that have been through things I've never been through. I've never buried a child. I don't know what that's like. I've never buried a spouse. I don't know what that's like. Amen. I do know what it is to bury a mom and to bury a dad. Amen. But they were planted in hope. Amen. There's going to be a resurrection one day. Amen. And we're going to go to be with Jesus. So there's some things I don't know about. I don't know about the doctor's visit that's really bad news. I was with a man one time, first church I pastored, when the surgeon came out of the operating room and he had to walk about the distance of this church. It was at Indian Path Hospital over where Miss Reba works, brother, right down that hallway from where her desk is there. You know, as far as you can see, there's doors. And I don't know about now, but that used to be where they operated back in that area. And that surgeon wouldn't even look up. He'd just come out of there shaking his head like this. I'm telling you, beloved, there'll be a time of distress in your heart and in your life. Their family's right now going through it. But I want to tell you this, beloved, listen, only the Lord can give peace. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What do you mean tribulation? Trouble. Job said, man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. I'm telling you, beloved, in the world you'll have trouble. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Amen. And the psalmist here is realizing that only the Lord only can give peace in a time of distress. Let me give you this. Only the Lord can give peace in a time of disgrace. Listen to me. We're living in a time of disgrace. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. It's a disgrace when people are shooting police officers. It's a disgrace when they're pouring water by the buckets full on police officers. What are they going to do when they put something besides water in that bucket? It's a disgrace, I said. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and say this morning. I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. It's a disgrace for somebody that's genuinely born again not to hide their body from those that are around them. It's a disgrace to be revealing everything you can reveal when clothing is not made to reveal, it's made to conceal. It's a disgrace. But here the psalmist says, listen, I'll give you peace in a time of disgrace. Listen to me this morning. They're not just marching in California anymore. They're not just marching, beloved, in Johnson City anymore. The march has come to Kingsport, and it's a disgrace. Celebrating sin. Celebrating what God said is an abomination. It's a disgrace. Taking the baby and ripping it from the mother's womb. It's a disgrace. You say, preacher, I don't know why you're saying anything about all this stuff. I tell you why. Because I've got a boatload of peace right in the middle of all the disgrace. I've read the Bible. Honey, it ain't getting better. It's going to wax worse and worse. But thank God we can have peace in the midst of the trouble. We don't have to go that way. We can be devoted to God in the midst of the disgrace. We got cities now. Listen to me carefully. You get your phone out. I reckon this is how it works. And you take a picture. There's an app. You take a picture of the poop on the sidewalk. And it sends the pooper scooper. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that businesses, Brother Law, they're urinating on the door of the business and using a bathroom in front of the business and setting them up a tent in front of the business, and businesses are leaving. I'm going to say something right now. A city that operates like that, I hope they all get out of it. It's got any sense. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Brother Ralph, I looked on the back of your truck. I reckon it's Anthony's now. As I went up to the shelter, is it, brother? Is it official? Is it? Okay. And you still have to clean it up every once in a while? That ain't right, Brother Ralph. Amen. Amen. You're welcome, Brother Anthony. Brother Wayne, you're supposed to say amen, Anthony. Okay. Okay. Amen. Let me tell you something, Brother Ralph. This is what I'm thinking about. When our men come back from Vietnam, what went on in this country was a disgrace. I said a disgrace. I said a disgrace. You think about them boys, Brother Lance, going off and fighting for this country, coming back and being mocked, being spit on. It's a disgrace. I'm telling you, there's lawlessness in our land like never before. And it's a disgrace. I'll tell you something right now. Beloved, listen. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying this morning. But in the midst of the disgrace, God's people have a peace that passes all understanding. We may not know what to do in a time of distress, but we have peace. We may not know what to do in a time of disgrace, but we have peace. Now they've got these places. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me. You say, preacher, you're fired up. No, I'm telling you what's in my heart. Beloved, listen, they've got cities now. They're setting aside places for them to shoot up. A safe place for them to stick the needle in their arm. Have somebody there in case they overdose. We're living in a day of disgrace. Take the children to school instead of teaching them that they ought to wait till they get married to have sex. Teach them how to have, quote, unquote, safe sex. I said, it's a disgrace. What's going on in our land? But I thank God that I have peace. I have peace in my heart in the midst of it all. Our school systems are erasing history. and promoting sin. It's a disgrace. But I've got a peace in my heart that passes all understanding. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can to stand. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Beloved, I've got a peace in the midst of it all because a Savior lives on the inside of me. Amen. Things are changing. Our world's changing. But one thing that does not change is the Lord. On February 22nd, 1987, put a peace down in my heart that's never changed. I thank God for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Rose, I made peace with God at Calvary. But thank God, one of the benefits of walking with God is you not only have peace with God, but you have the peace of God dwelling in your heart and in your life. Only the Lord can give a man peace. I want you to listen to a couple of these little things. Charles Wesley said this. He said, I rest beneath the Almighty shade. My griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, wilt keep me in perfect peace. Isaiah said it like this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Lines right up with Psalm chapter 4. Amen. Safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but rather the confidence that he is there with you in the middle of it all. Amen. Thank God we have a Savior. The disciples in the ship doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's going to the other side. Jesus is taking a nap. He's down inside the ship asleep. And they encountered a bad storm. Lord, wake up! Don't you care that we perish? Jesus stepped out on the bow of that ship and said, peace be still. I'm going to tell you something right now. Them old boys learned something about peace that day. Are you listening to me? They learned something about peace that day. They learned who it belonged to. The Lord only can give peace. Only the Lord, amen, can give peace. Oh, beloved friend, I appreciate that, don't you? Let me give you this, beloved. The Bible said here, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? The word shame there means disgrace, confusion, dishonor, reproach, and shame. How long will you love vanity in verse number 2? You know what vanity means? It means emptiness. It means a worthless thing. Let me tell you something right now. You want to know why they're going to march? They ain't got no peace. They're empty. If they had God in their heart, are you listening to me? I'm telling you, they'd have a purpose in life that would go far above living in sin. If that person that's putting a needle in their arm, if they just had God in their life, if they had a Savior in their life, they'd have something to live for besides a needle. The man that's drinking the bottom out of the bottle, the man that's looking for satisfaction in the bed, he'd find it in the Lord Jesus if he'd just turn to Jesus. I fear sometimes when I'm preaching like I'm preaching now that maybe somebody thinks, well, he thinks he's somebody. No, let me tell you something. Let me just stop and say this. Brother Aaron sang about grace a while ago. It's the grace of God. I'm not on the street somewhere living in a tent. It's the grace of God. They're not cleaning up my mess. Say amen. It's the grace of God. I'm not putting a needle in my arm or still looking in the bottom of a bottle for satisfaction. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. My wife and I will celebrate 40 years in September of being married. But she'll tell you, it's not because of me. It's because of him. That we're still married. Amen. Y'all need to pray because we still got about 3 weeks. Amen. Amen. I started to help Brother Brian. He sent me a text and He said, Kim and I, when it was supposed to be Kim and me, I couldn't hardly stand it. Amen. Amen. That's what you get for being married to a teacher. You have to get English correct. Now, politically correct, she can forget about that. Say amen. She gave up on that a long time ago. Vanity and emptiness, a worthless thing. And seek after leasing. I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up. Anybody know what that means, seeking after leasing? It means a falsehood or an idol. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, you'll get in trouble. Well, if the Bible gets a man in trouble, that's okay. There are people running up and down the road saying, God made me this way. You'll not find that in that book. Amen. God didn't make Eve take of the tree. God didn't make Adam follow his wife. Amen. Beloved, listen, sin is a choice. I'm reminded of what I heard a while back. It's something that needs to be repeated. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're living in a generation that's choosing to sin. And only the Lord can make a man righteous. Only the Lord can give a man peace. Let me read you this and I'm done. Duke University did a study on the peace of mind. The factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability are the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Let me just tell you this to you. Say this morning. If you're nursing a grudge, you're the one losing. You need to quit nursing it and take it to the doctor and let him fix it. Amen. Not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. Not wasting time and energy fighting conditions that you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. Force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional distress. Refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Cultivate the old-fashioned virtues. Whoa! This is coming out of Duke University. They're saying if you want peace of mind, cultivate the old-fashioned virtues. Love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. I like it. Do not expect too much of yourself. When there's too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you have set, then you have feelings of inadequacy. Find something bigger than yourself to believe in. How many is glad we have a Savior that's bigger than ourselves? That's a study that came out of Duke University, and yet in churches all over America. I'm not talking about the bar room now. I'm not talking about the gay pride parade. I'm talking about in churches all over America. There's people that's sitting that don't have peace, nursing a grudge. They're involved in something they know is displeasing to God, and they're hanging on to it. Let me tell you something right now. Beloved, if God spoke to your heart this morning, you know what you ought to do? You ought to fall in an old-fashioned altar of prayer. You ought to say, God, forgive me. If it's something between you and another individual, you ought to go to them and say, forgive me. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, I need to talk to you. She said, why? I said, because I don't want my prayers to be hindered. Does anybody hear what I just said? That Bible teaches if there's some kind of a rift between me and that woman right there that I'm wasting my time trying to get to the throne of grace, Brother Mike. So I said, honey, I need to talk to you. She said, why? I said, because I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I want to hear from heaven. He said, preacher, you would admit, how many of y'all are married? Why don't you admit it? Say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The people we love the most sometimes are the first people that we'll bark at. Not all of us maybe are that way, but some of us are. Some of us have to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Go to our spouse or go to our children and say, honey, I shouldn't have said that. I said that in the wrong spirit. You can say the right thing in the wrong spirit and it'll be wrong. Would somebody help me? You ain't lived till your wife looks at you and says, it ain't what you said, it's how you said it. You like that, don't you, Lance, for some reason? Amen. I don't know why, but amen. Usually I have to tell the church to nod their little head up and down. I ain't even having to tell him, amen. He just cooperating all over the place. Probably got a bruised rib. Amen. Listen, only the Lord, Brother Houston, could take Houston, pick him up out of that mess, and make him righteous. Only the Lord, Brother Houston. I know you remember the day when the church was in the time of distress, could give you that peace right in the middle of all of it. Say, God, we're going to wait on you. God, we're going to seek your face. God, we ain't giving up. I'm going to tell you something right now. God will help us this morning if we'll let him. Say it with me. Only the Lord. Would you say it with me? Only the Lord can make a man righteous, and only the Lord can give a man peace. Only the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. I would to God. Brother Thurman, ever been a time in your life when you'd have just liked to give somebody peace? You'd have just liked it. It's not in our skill set. We can't do it. But I tell you what, we know the one, Brother Ike, that can. Say amen. His name is Jesus. Let's bow for prayer.